auburn hair, grown long on one side of his head and brushed smoothly over the bald top until it joins the hair on the other side.
Giorgino, amico, come sta?
Lucia and Georgie, and Lucia's husband, when alone or with friends who have little or no knowledge of the language, are wont to pepper their conversation with scraps of Italian, beautifully pronounced.
Va bene. Va very bene now that you've come back.
Georgie, tell me, who is Daisy and Robert's visitor? I know they have one, for I met Robert a moment ago, positively hurtling off to greet the new arrival. But who?
I've no idea, Lucia. None at all.
Cattivo, Giorgino. Lucia must go home, presto, presto, and see if husband Peppino can tell her. Oh, I have ordered the Mozart piano duet which we talked about.
Ah.
And as soon as it arrives, I want you to come across and try it over with me. I know it'll be dreadful diffy, so kind Georgie must help Ecco Lucia.
And Georgie very pleased to help. Oh, what fun it all is!
In order to save subsequent disappointment, it must be stated that there is not, never has been, nor ever will be the smallest approach to a flirtation between Lucia and Georgie Pilsen. The baby talk in which they indulge and the Italian endearments which they exchange are the nearest either of them has ever come to flirting with anybody at all. But it is one of the polite and pleasant fictions of Rye's home that Georgie is passionately attached to her, and that for her sake he remains unmarried. In fact, he is quite content to live singly, to do his sewing and his sketching, dust his china collection, and play any number of piano duets with her, but nothing more.
There you are, ma'am.
Thank you, Grosvenor. Ah, home.
Work quick, ma'am. Only just started the unpacking.
Ah, Lucia mia!
Lucia's husband, Philip, always addresses her in the Italian mode, La Lucia, the wife of Lucas, and is addressed in his turn as
Peppino, mio caro,
as he greets her at the amazingly antique door of the Hurst, which, as befits its chatelaine, is the most completely Elizabethan abode in Rye's home.
Ben arrivata! And how was London?
I'm terrifically busy about nothing. I have scarcely had a moment to myself.
Ah, let me take your coat, carissima.
Grazie. Oh, how restful to be in my own little house again. The lunches, the dinners, the parties. I could not go to half the gatherings I was bidden to. Dear South Kensington.
Well, when London does manage to catch you, it's no wonder they all make the most of you. You mustn't blame them for that.
Oh, no, dear, I don't. Everyone was tremendously kind and hospitable. They all did their best. If I blame anyone, I blame myself. But I think this Rye's home life with its finish and its exquisiteness spoils one for other places. No one in London has time to listen.
Oh, yes, how very...
They're all thinking about who is there and who isn't there and what is the next thing. The exquisite present, as you put it in one of your poems, has no existence there. It is always the feverish future.
Alas, Cara, my present prose poem on loneliness has not been getting on very well during your absence. In fact, not at all.
Poor Vera Peppino.
Yes, our printers at E. Sinovy Daffodil are awaiting my manuscript at this very moment. Oh, so much to do, as you have often said.
Well, take my life here, or yours, for that matter. Mm. Well, mine, if you like. Often and often I'm alone from breakfast till lunchtime. But in those hours, I get through more that is worth doing than London gets through all day and night.
Oh,
I have
indeed.
An hour of my music, then I have my letters to write, and you know what that means.
Oh, yes.
And I still have time for an hour's reading. So that when you come to tell me that lunch is ready, you will find that I've been wandering through Venetian churches, or sitting in Goethe's little dark room at Weimar, or was it Leipzig?
Ah, well,
oh,
now...
How thankful I am to be back in my own sweet library again. I can work and think here.
Of course. And here are your letters, Cara, awaiting you. I did not forward yesterday's posts for fear of their missing you.
How wise you are. London postmen are, I believe, very careless and untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a pile. Poor Lucia. Well, I should